turn to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. I want to begin a short series in the 119th Psalm. We taught on it in Sunday school a few years ago. We went more verse by verse then. Want to speak, this series will be the blessed life of Psalm 119. Tonight we want to look at the life that we are called to and can live. Psalm 119, of course, we should all be very familiar with. It contains the very passionate expressions of the psalmist. We do not know who the writer is. There's much debate, which is senseless because we do not know. So we won't even go there. But it does contain the passionate expressions of the psalmist in regards to God, in regards to God's Word. Throughout the psalm, we see many of the prayers of the psalmist. We see many of his meditations. We see many of his aspirations. We see his testimony. Again, all regarding God and his word. The 119th Psalm are the words of one who had experienced and was continuing to experience and to live in the sweetness and the benefits of God and his word. It begins in verse 1 and 2, blessed are. You see that in verse 1. You see it again in verse 2. Blessed are. And I believe that's pretty much the life that is described in this 119th Psalm. A blessed life. That word blessed has reference to a particular kind of joy, a peace, an assurance that is the result of something. It's obvious again, blessed are. And then it mentions, goes on to mention particular characteristics. So it is a blessedness or a joy or a peace or assurance that is the result of something. They're words that speak of a state of mind. It's an inner condition, an inward joy, an inward happiness, an inward pleasure, a satisfaction of heart. And all of this is independent of the happenings and the circumstances of life. Really, these words are the result of living in accord with the Word of God, living in the reality of God, living in the reality of God's Word. But if you look at this psalm, again, it's really a pictorial of this blessed life. And as you read through, you see that there's much fellowship with God through His Word. There's much enjoyment of God. That's part of the blessed life. It's a life of fellowship. It's a life of enjoyment of God. There's an awful lot of people who profess to know the Lord who do not at least seem to enjoy the Lord. We see here throughout the psalm there's faith in God, faith in God's Word. There's obedience and reverence for God and His Word. All of that is included, of course, in this life that we are called to live, this life that we can live. And perhaps that's what we need to grasp, is not only that we are called to live this life, we can live this life. And we ought to live this life, and we're responsible to live this life. Now, the nature of this particular psalm reveals and paints a picture of this God-glorifying life upon earth. What we read here is the life, again, that we are called to live, the life that you and I, as saved individuals, can live. It's not something that's imaginary. It's not something that is elusive, something that you're always chasing but never able to attain to. It's reality. It is a life that, again, we can live. And really, the 119th Psalm, if we go through and ask ourselves questions after every single verse, and again, it's not our intention to look at all the verses of the 119th Psalm. We're going to be skipping around quite a bit throughout the series. But the 119th Psalm serves as a barometer by which you and I can measure our own spiritual condition, the condition of our souls. And the 119th Psalm ought to be our personal experience. We ought to be able to identify with what the psalmist is saying. And as you look, and we would encourage you to read the 119th Psalm over and over and over again, and it should be something that stirs our souls. It should result in a heart and life-changing experience. It's a psalm in which we can find much strength, revitalization, and refreshment. So I want to look tonight, first of all, at the theme of the psalm. The theme of the psalm reveals the source of the life which we are called to live, the life which we can live. The reason that most of God's people fail to live this life is because they go to the wrong source. And the very theme of the psalm reveals the source of this life. Now, the grand theme of Psalm 119 is God and His Word. If you ask most people what is the theme or what is the subject of Psalm 119, they're going to say the Word of God, and that's partly correct. But it's a psalm, you can't separate God and His Word. The theme is God and His Word. The theme is the sufficiency of God and His Word. The blessed life that is pictured here in this psalm is a life relative to and based upon God and His Word. You cannot live this life that is described here separate and apart from God, separate and apart from God's Word. It is a life that is relative to God and His Word. It is a life that has its basis upon God and His Word. Now, there are 176 verses in the psalm. In the Hebrew, that would just be 176 lines. Each verse was a line. But there's 176 verses. And every single verse mentions the Lord by name or by personal pronoun. Every single verse. 176 verses. So it seems to me that the main theme is God. The word Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, occurs 24 times. The word God occurs one time. The word His, in reference to God, occurs two times. The word His occurs more than two times, but in reference to God, it occurs two times. The word Thou occurs 32 times. The word Thee occurs 17 times. And the word Thy occurs 209 times. If you add all of that up, God is mentioned 285 times in 176 verses. And of that 285 times, all but four of those times, He is being spoken to and not merely about. There are four times where He is spoken of or spoken about. The remaining 281 times, the psalmist is speaking to the Lord. Also, every verse, with the exception of verses 84, 90, 121, 122, and 132, make direct reference to the Word of God. So we have God, we have God's Word. That is the theme of the psalm. And that is the theme of this blessed life that you and I are called to live and can live. Also, keep in mind God and His Word. Then you have the personal pronouns of I and me, the psalmist referring to himself. And those words occur 231 times. And almost all the time, they are used in reference to God and His Word, revealing that this life that we are called to live, this life that we can live, is relational to God and His Word. It is relational to God and His Word. So the life pictured in Psalm 119 has its basis in a living relationship with God, a living relationship with the living Word of God. And this is a truth that must never, ever be forgotten. Life is relational. Every single one of us live our lives in relation to something. Everyone in the world lives their life in relation to something. Life is relational. And whatever the relational aspect of life, whatever the relational aspect is, that determines the life that we live. And if we have a relationship with God and His Word, that of course determines the life that we live. You see, God, we know, created life, but He did more than create life. He also designed how life should be lived. And again, we've preached on this before. In the beginning, God. That is how life is to be lived. That very statement teaches us the beginning or the design of life. It's all about God. So life is to be lived with God and His Word being the source. It was not designed for man to find strength and peace and contentment and fulfillment and happiness apart from God and His Word, wasn't designed that way. The world, of course, is looking for peace, contentment, fulfillment, happiness, but they're looking for it apart from God and His Word. Life was not designed that way. It wasn't designed that way. It's not going to work. God is the Creator and He's the designer. And again, God designed life. If we're going to have a blessed life, it is designed to be lived with God and His Word as being the source. Life was designed to be lived dependent upon God and dependent upon God's Word. That's how God designed that you and I should live. And if you follow the design, it works better. Life is so much better when it is lived like it's supposed to be lived. Life was designed to be lived close to God. Adam and Eve lived close to God until sin came in. But life was designed to be lived close to God, and Adam and Eve enjoyed God. And life was designed to be lived in the enjoyment of God and His Word. And again, life was designed to be lived in submission to God and His Word. To live life any other way than how God designed it is to live incorrectly. It is to do it wrong. And there's a lot of people that just do it wrong when it comes to living life, because they're not following the design of God for life. The failure to live life as it was designed to be lived is what leads to so much misery and so much chaos. Look at the world today. There's chaos everywhere. There's dysfunction everywhere. Why? Well, all people have to do is look at the lives they live. They are living the contrary to what God has said. They are trying to live their life apart from God and His Word. They're looking for peace. They're looking for contentment. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. In other words, they're doing it all wrong. And so if life is just falling apart, the first place you need to start is, how am I living? And again, a lot of people don't want to go there. But you better go there, because if you don't, it's never going to be fixed. Throughout the 119th Psalm, we see the absolute need of God in our lives. We see the absolute need of His Word in our lives. So the very theme of the 119th Psalm reveals to us the source and the design of life. Life was designed to be lived in relation to God and His Word. Secondly, the format of the psalm reveals the character of the life that we are called to live, the life that we can live. Again, the grand theme is the greatness, the glory, and the sufficiency of God and His Word. And this is expressed in a very personal, interrelated way throughout the psalm. The psalm was written in a very repetitious manner. There are things repeated over and over and over and over again. The psalm was written in a very repetitious manner, which reveals that this personal connection with God and His Word is worth repeating. It's worth repeating again and again and again. And what this is simply saying is, this relationship with God and His Word is a priority. And it is a vital principle to this blessed life. It's vital. You cannot live a blessed life unless there is this relationship with God and His Word. So it's written in a repetitious manner. The position of the 119th Psalm. It's near the actual center of the Word of God. And I don't believe that that is an accident. Considering the subject matter of the 119th Psalm, and we find it almost in the actual center. I believe the actual center is like Psalm 118, such and such verse. But there it is, the 119th Psalm. Pretty much in the center of God's Word. Revealing once again that what is spoken of here in this 119th Psalm is the core. It is the center of this blessed life that we are called to live, that we can live. Also, the 119th Psalm is composed in an acrostic or an alphabetical manner. In our Bibles, in each section, you'll see a word at the top, the Aleph, Beth. Those are the Hebrew, that's the Hebrew alphabet. So the psalm is written in an acrostic or alphabetical manner, beginning with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalm again contains 176 verses. Or 176 lines. And each of these are grouped into 22 stanzas. Again, corresponding to the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza, 22 of them, has 8 lines or 8 verses. And each one of those lines, each one of those verses begin with the Hebrew letter in consecutive order. What all that shows is the psalm was written in a very orderly way. It's written in a very orderly way. It is written in a very precise manner. And it's written in a beautiful fashion. Again, what is pictured here is blessed are. The life that is pictured in the 119th Psalm is an orderly life. It's an orderly life. It's a very precise life. And it's a beautiful life. There's no life more beautiful than the one who lives the 119th Psalm. Thirdly, the setting of the psalm reveals that this life that we are called to live can be lived despite the circumstances and the happenings of life. As you read through the psalm, you see that it was a time of great personal stress, personal difficulty, personal need, and there is a great variety of dangers that are mentioned throughout the psalm. We just want to see several things concerning the setting of the psalm. First of all, they were sinful times. He mentions the proud. The proud. He mentions them in verse 21, verse 51, verse 69, verse 78, verse 85, and verse 122. He mentions the proud. And he mentions the wicked. He mentions them in verse 53, verse 61, verse 95, verse 110, verse 119, verse 155. You have the proud, you have the wicked. He also mentions evildoers, verse 16 and verse 115. He also mentions the evil way in verse 101. And he also mentions the false way, verse 104 and verse 128. He mentions deceit in verse 118. And he mentions falsehood in verse 118. All of those words are indicative of sinful times, evil times. The psalmist also had the personal experience of enemies. He said in verse 98, well, let's turn there, verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Mine enemies. He mentions them again in verse 139 and verse 157. My enemies. My enemies. My personal enemies. He also experienced slander and defamation of character. Notice verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Princes also did sit and speak against me. So he experienced slander. He experienced defamation of character. There was also mockery and ridicule and disdain. Notice verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. So he experienced mockery and ridicule. They also experienced fraud, cruelty, ruthlessness. Notice verse 61. Verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. The psalmist experienced persecution. He experienced harassment. He experienced oppression. Notice verse 86. The last part, they persecute me wrongfully. They persecute me wrongfully. Verse 134, deliver me from the oppression of men. In verse 157, he says, many are mine persecutors. Many are my persecutors. He says in verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause. He was living in very difficult times. He was living in a time when many hated him. Princes or rulers, those in high places, persecuted him. He also experienced near depletion. Notice verse 87. Verse 87. They had almost, now the they goes back to they persecute me wrongfully. They had almost consumed me. They had almost devoured me. Almost. Almost there. So there was suffering. He experienced many evil intentions. He experienced many attempts to destroy him. Verse 95, the wicked have waited for me. That shows intent. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. He experienced attempts to capture him and to entrap him. Notice verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me. Again, showing intent and attempts. They have digged pits for me. Verse 110 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me. He experienced all of these things. He also knew what it was to be overlooked and thought very little of. Notice verse 141. Verse 141. I am small and despised. I am small in their eyes. I am despised. I am thought little of. Now, as in the midst of all of these circumstances that the psalmist declared at the end of these verses that we've just referred to, you'll read words such as, but I. They persecuted me wrongfully, but I. They ridiculed, they mocked, but I. And at the end of some of the verses you read, yet do not I. And in other verses you read, yet I. In other words, his life was not controlled by these circumstances. His life was not controlled by these happenings. And after he made the statements, but I, or yet do not I, he always made reference to God or his word. Always. In relation to himself. This is how you and I live above the circumstances and happenings of life. Our source must be God and his word. There was also personal suffering and distress and trouble and adversity. Notice in verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now we know in the Old Testament they would fall into the dust and pour dust upon their heads. It was a time of sorrow. It was a time of misery and heartache. He said, my soul doth cleave to the dust. And what does he pray? He prays, quicken thou me. And by the time you get to the end of that stanza, it says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. Now that's quite a change from your soul cleaving to the dust and now running in the way of God's commandments. In verse 28, he said, my soul melteth for heaviness. My soul melteth. It's vanishing. It appears to be vanishing away. For heaviness. That is the heaviness that he was feeling. It was also, he experienced discomfort. Verse 83. He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The bottles, of course, were made of animal skins, and they, under the heat, under the fire, they would begin to shrivel up. And this is what he's saying here. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. That is, my life seems to be shriveling up. But notice what he says. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. You see, we all get to these places in life. We all experience these things in life. And what determines how we get through it is our relationship with God and His Word. In all of these cases, the psalmist looked to God. The psalmist looked to God's Word. And there he found relief. There he found comfort. That's how it's designed to be. That's how God designed life to be. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be adverse circumstances. And God has designed that we can find strength in Him and in His Word. No need to look anywhere else. That's not God's design. He also experienced affliction. Notice verse 50. He says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." My affliction. Verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have I kept thy word." So he's beginning to see the good of affliction. When you and I can see absolutely no good in affliction, we have a wrong relationship with God. We have a wrong relationship with His Word. Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Again, he's been afflicted. He mentions in verse 75, notice the last part of verse 75, "And that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." God afflicted him. Not all affliction comes from the world. Not all affliction comes as a direct result of sin. God can just decide to afflict you for whatever reason, whatever purpose. Verse 153. Verse 153. "Consider mine affliction." Consider mine affliction. And the last part of that verse, "For I do not forget thy law." We're all going to have affliction. The question is, what are we going to do in our hour or in our season of affliction? The psalmist experienced trouble and anguish. Notice verse 143. Trouble and anguish. That's trouble would refer to problems and difficulties, distresses and hassles. Anguish refers to torment and sorrow and pain. Trouble and anguish, that is, these two things together, have taken hold on me. They haven't just entered his life. They've taken hold on me. This was his experience. We see also he had burdens. Notice verse 136. "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." So we see the setting of the song. It was set under difficult circumstances. And this blessed life that is being described in this 119th Psalm is lived despite circumstances. Again, for those who might think when circumstances change, when outward circumstances change, my life will get better. That's not so. That's a wrong source. That's a wrong source. You're making circumstances your source. You want to talk about going on a roller coaster ride? Make circumstances your source of happiness and fulfillment. You'll be up and up and up and down, 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 down. More down than up. So the blessed life pictured in the 119th Psalm It's a wonderful life. And life is wonderful when it's lived correctly. When it's lived by God's design. By wonderful, I don't mean, as we've already seen, that there will not be any affliction. There will not be any persecution. There will not be any mistreatment. That's not what we mean by wonderful. Life is wonderful when it is lived by God's design. It's incredible. The life that is being described here is an incredible life. It's an extraordinary life. It's not the ordinary life. You and I should not want the ordinary life of this world. We should want that which is extraordinary. The extraordinary life. This is a very serviceable life. It's a very meaningful life. How sad. And I suppose it's true of probably the vast majority of the population of the world. People live meaningless lives. How sad to come to the end of a life and that life have no real meaning. What's being described in Psalm 119 is a meaningful life. And it's the life that we're called to live. And it's the life that we can live. Regardless of the circumstances, we can live this life. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the oppositions and the trials, this is the life that we're called to live. And the life that we can live. So what a wonderful life experience, Psalm 119. That is a wonderful life experience, just to live. Psalm 119. We'll look next week. We'll see that this life involves some convictions. Some convictions concerning the Lord. We've already seen that God and His Word are the source of this life, a relationship with God through His Word. And if we're going to have a relationship with God, we have to have some convictions concerning God. And if the Word of God is going to be our source, we have to have some convictions concerning the Word of God. And these convictions shape our lives, begins to form the lives that we live. It's no wonder the lives, the wicked lives that some live, all you have to do is look at how they've been shaped. Look at what's forming those lives. The result is going to be chaos. So we need convictions concerning God, concerning God's Word. But what a wonderful life that is ours to live. And it's a life that we can live every single day. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse